Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, I'm Hannah, I'll be your tavern wench.
But it's not the fat cock, I can tell you that.
Is it ever? Cross your fingers, but it's never.
Love this country.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
And joining us on today's episode, we have the fantastic comedian Sophie Hagen.
Yay!
And we have the fantastic beers from Beer 52.
Hey!
They rightly got less of a round of applause.
I did cheer more for Beer 52. I'm sorry, Sophie.
I can't blame you. It's very good.
I am really enjoying my Lone Wolf single hop IPA.
I'm enjoying my Barber, which there's a picture on it on the front, a cartoon of a man that looks a bit like my brother, maybe when he's going to be about 80. So that's a very niche observation. So if you know my brother, have a look at Barber and you'll see what it looks like as an elderly man.
It's a great Christmas present for him.
The empty bottle.
It's a really personalised choice.
Mine's good too, but I can't read it because it's 6%. Love it.
Sophie, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have been very close to, and I've not, it wasn't until I knew I was doing this podcast that I thought of it. I haven't thought of it since it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't happen.
Intriguing.
Strap in. So I must have been 14, 13 or 14, and I spent the summer with my grandparents at their house, and they live in this tiny, tiny village in the south of Denmark. And they live in this tiny kind of sheltered community of tiny houses where other pensioners live. So just like a bunch of old people. And they're kind of surrounded by fields. Ooh. This is very safe, tiny, nothing ever happens. You know, they shut down the bus stop because no one uses the bus.
Oh,
it comes
God.
Once every other hour, like a tiny, just in the middle of nowhere place.
It's the Florida of Denmark. I'm with you.
Just lesser known. But so people there don't lock their doors, because why? Okay. Why would nothing ever happen?
Sure. Right.
So I was staying there this summer, and it's a tiny, tiny house, and I was sleeping in the living room, which is like, I could, if I looked up from the mattress on the floor, I could see the front door. Okay. Just across the hallway. And so I was about to fall asleep, and then my grandmother woke up for some reason, and she walked into the hallway and she locked the door, and I was like, that's weird, like that never happens. But we're just like, oh, granny's
genuinely terrified. Yeah. Genuinely terrified.
Who had she angered? What had she done?
What does she know? Why tonight?
Well, we just assumed, oh, she's being weird. She's
so paranoid, locking your door at night.
Yeah. So, but also, my mind is very good at, you know, if something's dark, my mind goes, oh, well, I guess I'm going to die now. You know, everything's going to go wrong.
Very fatalist.
Something's scary. So I was a bit on edge. And then I kind of fell asleep. And a few hours later, I had this half, you know, when you feel like you're asleep, you feel like you're dreaming, but you also feel like you're awake. Mm. Yeah. And I kind of felt like someone was like rattling the door handle.
Oh.
But in my head, I went, you're asleep. Like, stop being an idiot, right? Just keep sleeping. The next morning, we woke up and there was police everywhere.
Oh, no.
And there were two young men.
Oh, my God.
Who had gone into every single house that had their doors unlocked. And for most of them, they'd just stolen stuff, because they're really old people, they can't do anything, and they're just asleep, and you know, nothing wakes them up.
Yeah.
But the guy who lived right across from my grandparents' house, they had killed.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
Why? What, because he tried to fight them?
Because he could recognize them. He was the only one who woke up and saw them.
Oh, my God.
So if I had woken up, I would have been able to recognize them.
Because you would have seen their faces.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I had not thought of that since it happened. Why? Why have I not
because
thought of
it? Because it's terrifying.
It's really scary.
My goosebumps are so
big. That your grandma was working with these robbers. It's like, it's just insane.
Also,
I asked her afterwards, and she was just like, oh, no, I just had a hunch.
That's weird.
I was going to say, why? Yeah. She had a hunch.
I bet she saw two men earlier or something, and it's like your gut instinct.
Yeah, she had a subconscious.
Like, subconscious was like, let's just lock the door. No reason.
It's so weird.
Because your rational brain won't keep you safe. Your gut one is the one trying to keep you safe.
Yeah. So the person who got murdered, did they have a partner? Was there anybody else in the house?
No, he was alone.
He was alone.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
He was 88. Oh, just an old guy.
That's horrible.
I quite like that. There's something about the fact that he got out of bed to fight them, which I fucking love.
Yeah.
Like, being an 88-year-old man going, I'm going to take you down.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
That's so
strange.
Sad.
It's very strange to process that.
Yeah. And it's like, nowhere is safe. You can be like, oh yeah, we're all old people, we all leave our doors unlocked. But that doesn't mean that the other people aren't going to hear about you and come. Mm. Like, nowhere is safe.
Do you think the rattling you heard was for realsies?
Yeah, because they had there were other of the neighbors who had either seen like a flashlight through their windows or who had woken up, could hear someone in their house, but they'd just been pretending to sleep.
Jesus.
And then they just walked out again. So they'd definitely gone to every single house.
Wow.
Oh, it really is a horror film. It's really scary. I'm so curious about, so these two guys, I'm wondering if they had a talk beforehand. They're like, if anyone sees us, we kill them. Like, or was it impulsive?
Well, I think they found out that they were like incredibly intoxicated and drugged up. And so I obviously don't know. But I think they were just too...
Wow.
Did they go down for it?
Is that how they caught
them? Yeah, they got 15 years.
They probably caught them because the next bus wasn't for an hour. It's not a good place to do a crime.
With their bag of swag.
Yeah.
And their bloody hands.
We didn't plan for this, did we?
One of the things we say on this podcast is if you were confronted with them now, what would you like to say to them?
Or do to them. Well, we've thrown that in more recently.
Yeah.
People are like, say to them, I'm going to hang them up by their testicles.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm very much, I don't think anyone's evil. I don't think anyone's born evil. So I think, and I don't think it helps to just throw people in jail and then 15 years later they're going to come out and just be super cool guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
what it's like.
So I don't know if I want, but also I wasn't the victim of the crime. So I don't really think I'm longing for revenge or anything like that. I'm just... I have this idea that if people do something like that, if people can make... Like, I trapped a mouse a few weeks ago, and I still I feel horrible. Oh. So I think that's a natural instinct to just not want to hurt anyone.
Okay.
So if you're pushed to the level where you do that,
yeah,
something's wrong. Something's gone wrong.
Okay.
So I just think they need like help.
So yeah, so you would just get them the help that they need.
Yeah, I mean, and also keep them away from... I mean, I wouldn't, like, give them a hug. I'm not... That's not I'm not a pacifist. Like, that's not it. But no, I wouldn't get anything out of screaming at them, I think. I think that would just make things worse.
Very pragmatic.
But has it affected you in the sense where if you're half asleep, do you go like, no, this is fucking real?
Like all of my dreams are serial killers now.
I haven't thought about it since it happened. It that's was only wild. When I listened to the other episodes and I realized I was going to answer the question, I thought, have I ever? Yeah. And then I just remembered and I haven't thought of it since. I think, and maybe it's because it was so far away from where I lived. You know, it was like a weird, you know,
so you just kind of perk it.
Yeah, we must have been kind of coddled a bit at the time. Mm. They probably made sure we weren't too...
If there's one thing we like to do, it's to dredge up old trauma.
We're all about re-traumatizing all of our people.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for an amazing story.
Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you.
Well done, Grandma, with the instincts. I want her around.
Yeah. Right.
Oh shit, sorry.
Let's crack one open.
Hannah's spraying beer 52 pills in her all over.
It's very good.
Does it taste as good as it sounded?
It does taste very nice, actually.
Oh, cool. I'm going to try that one next.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Right, are we ready to solve a crime?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please.
Right, now. This crime actually starts with a dead baby.
Oh.
Now, this actually might be a slightly more famous crime story than I usually do, or rather than I usually knowingly do, because sometimes we're like, oh, this is amazing, and everyone's like, yeah, that's really famous. So what I mean is I have heard of this person, and I first learned about this story some years ago when I did a guided tour of a certain historical city where we have all done a lot of comedy. Would anyone like to guess the location?
Well, I know that I used to slay it in Athens, so they've got a great fringe festival there, so.
Is it Edinburgh?
It is Edinburgh!
In my Welsh accent.
this particular perp has a pub named after them in Edinburgh. Does anyone know the name of the pub?
Ah, there was a pub named of a woman, and I can't remember, and it was a woman, and she got hung for something. Ooh. Is it maybe her?
Yeah, hold on to that.
Okay, because I've drunk in that pub, so it's probably, and she's a Scottish woman.
I'm going to keep that suspense going for a tiny bit longer. But it's not the Fat Cock, I can tell you that.
Is it ever?
Never.
Cross your fingers, but it's never. So disappointed every single time.
Have you been missold, fat cock? You could be entitled to a refund.
Right, we go straight to the crime. So I'll set the scene. It's wintertime. A fisherman finds the dead body of a naked baby boy on the bank of the River Tweed. Fun fact, the River Tweed is 97 miles long. It flows east across the border region in Scotland and northern England.
we're laughing and we're learning, aren't we?
We're all picturing this river. What year do you think this is?
Do you know what's baffling about this case is I think I know it because I've read about it on a menu in that pub.
Oh, no.
So I'm like desperately trying to think. But I reckon it's probably, the pub was quite old, so I think it's maybe 1814 is my guess.
Okay. Any advance on 1814?
I was going to go even earlier for some reason.
Okay.
1792.
Nice.
And I'm going to go 1710.
It's like the Price is Right.
I can now reveal that Sophie is the closest.
Ooh.
Yes. It's 1723.
Oh, that was actually really close.
It was really close.
So you've been there. I haven't even seen
it. How did you do that without a menu? That's incredible.
Okay.
I just got that. I like that.
So there's a hunt to find who has left this tiny corpse on this riverbank in 1723. At this point... Do we think the perp is going to be male or female?
Female.
I mean, yeah, it could be a man that didn't want kids, but yeah, we're looking
an abandoned baby.
Yeah. So, fingers are soon pointing in the direction of a stranger working in a local tavern, a woman recently estranged from her mariner husband. It is rumoured that she's been having a passionate affair with the innkeeper's son and that he is the father of the dead child.
I'm like waiting for you to just erupt into song. It's such a musical theatre.
So this woman is called Maggie Dixon.
Maggie bloody Dixon.
This was Maggie Dixon, which is also the name of a great pub and grass market where Hannah half read a menu.
I mean, I was really hungry, to be fair. I don't know why I read any of it.
It's known for two things. It's that time you read that menu. And then there's the baby, the thing about the baby.
On the menu that you've read the menu. Hannah George read this menu.
Look at what I ordered, and yeah, it was a burger.
Like, only half read it because you couldn't remember. Sorry.
Do you know why I read it as well? Because I was on my own. I went. Aww. You know, like when you're in Edinburgh and you kind of think, I just need a little bit of me time. I'm going to go to the pub on my own. Yeah. I didn't want any me time. I just didn't know.
It's every time you're, it's like when you're in the loo as well and you look at shampoo and you're like, oh, what else should I be doing? I'll just read this thing. Any writing I can find, I'll just...
Yeah. So pass some time. I took my parents there. This is funny, because I did not read them. Yes, I did. Oh. I distinctly remember taking them there, and my mother discovered jacket potatoes and how much she likes them.
Wait, you don't have jacket potatoes in America?
Bombshell!
They're different.
How? You put it in the oven.
We don't cook the potato. That's where we go wrong. No, we do. They're just... I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about anything that's uncomfortable. Okay, will you please right. Bring it back to the dead baby?
So far, yeah.
I'm Jesus so Christ. Sorry.
What is this puck?
I crossed a boundary and I will get back to the safe space of the dead child.
It's fine. I'm the one who brought it up and I wasn't okay. Ready.
All right. So Maggie Dixon was born sometime around 1702 in Musselburgh, which is 5 miles east of Edinburgh. She grew up in the same area and married a fisherman when she was about 20. Her dad was an alcoholic. Giving you some background on Maggie Dixon.
Page turn.
Now, Maggie Dixon is a colourful character. As we know, 1723 is an age where women are expected to know their place, be submissive, dutiful and chaste. Very different from today. And Maggie Dixon, a Musselburgh fishwife, is often in trouble. She's outspoken, she's promiscuous and vituperative, which I had to look up, but it means abusively critical with foul language.
Yeah.
Oh, so she was awesome.
Fuck yeah, would have been better.
She was basically awesome. On her wedding day, she swears that she will be mastered by no man, not even her husband.
Oh, yes.
She's a baller.
I'm going to do that. I've not got married yet. I'm going to do that. Yeah, literally walk down the aisle, straight thing, first thing. I will not be mastered by any man. Thank you.
Do you take this? No. I do not.
There's slightly discrepant stories with this. I tried my best to research it. According to one source, she has 2 kids with her husband, but then other sources make no mention of them. I was slightly worried I'm stumbling into, like, fan fiction. it's like, how is that? That's just what history is, though, right? History is written by the...
Ah, good point.
Fan fiction written by the victors. That's history. According to one source I found, while her husband's at sea, she sells her fish and sleeps with men for pleasure and or money and looks after the...
How dare she sleep men for pleasure?
That's only one source. And she looks after the 2 bairns, that's Scottish for babies. Disaster. The fisherman husband abandons her. He goes to sea, leaving her alone with 2 children, or just alone if there are no children. Okay, question. What do you think she does next when the husband leaves? She's got no husband.
Do we know if she's working? Like, what is her...
She was selling fish, wasn't she?
So she's... So she's a fishwife. So, like... but there's... I've read up on this. So...
Still a funny expression.
The men bring in
Let
the fish.
Let me have it, Katie.
And then they bring the fish to the beach, but all the wives are waiting with their knives, and then they gut them super fast, and
the
then
The fish
they...
are the men.
Wow. Am I right?
High five.
Oh, this could have been such a good turn.
So it's like a very big operation. Everyone has to work very hard. But anyway, one account says she does that. Another account says she's hoeing it up. I don't know what she's doing.
So is this when she starts banging the pub?
Yes, kind of.
Ooh, well remembered.
We're coming up to that. So what she does next is... There is a lot of discrepancy with exactly what she does next. She either goes to Newcastle to stay with relatives, or Fearing her children would starve with no daddy income, Maggie has no option but to use her considerable charms and looks to survive. There's a strong implication. One source says she discovers a new and licentious source of secret income in nearby Edinburgh and embarks on a career of vice and debauchery.
Ooh.
But, like, does she?
I pick option B. Is this a choose your own adventure? Because I'm gonna.
It kind of is.
I choose B. It's more fun.
Okay, so basically, she either did a few different bits to earn money, either goes to Newcastle, and then eventually left the kids with a friend, if the kids exist.
So, it's alleged kids.
Yeah. So Maggie moves to Kelso, which
Kelso Grammar
is.
That's the school she went to.
Yeah.
That's what he was named after before he started in Fraser.
It's near the Scottish borders. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know a fun fact about Kelso?
I'd love to.
Okay. Fact fans. Kelso lies in the bend of the River Tweed and the confluence of the River Teviot, which in the early days made Kelso the centre for commerce. Kelso is still the largest market square in Scotland.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not enough. Not enough is said about Kelso then, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're nearly at the scene of the crime. Maggie arrives in Kelso. There's this inn. The landlady likes her and asks Maggie to work there for board and lodgings. The life of a tavern wench suits her well, and Maggie thrives for months until what happens?
Does she have to be called a tavern wench?
Isn't that like,
is that on her badge? Hello, I'm Hannah, I'll be your tavern wench.
It really is. It really is.
So she starts working this inn, and I was going to say, what happens next?
Wait, is it the son?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So she bangs the son.
She bangs the son. She doesn't just finally bang him. She falls in
doesn't
love with him.
Doesn't just bang him. Oh, okay. I think there's going to be more
it's
salacious
very sweet.
Detail.
She falls in love with the innkeeper's son, William Bell. According to one source,
Dick Bell.
She's swept away in a deep and all-consuming love by the tall and attractive young man. One thing led to another. She gets prego. So she finds herself pregnant with William's child and contrives to conceal her condition. Why do you think she does that?
Oh, Bill Bell.
Was he married? Oh, no, but they weren't married. So were you allowed to do that? Were you allowed to be a bit of a
yes.
non-married skanky hoe?
Yeah, no, excellent deduction skills. You're getting promoted.
Thank you. To head wench.
Head detective wench. Yeah, she'd be in loads of trouble. Yeah, he's not married, actually, but she is. And obviously her husband is the official source of where she can get her sex. And he's not there. So, yeah, it would lead to... if the innkeeper discovers that she's pregnant, it would be instant dismissal. Well, she either didn't even tell her lover about the pregnancy, or if she did, he did nothing to help her in any way.
What do we think is more likely? Oh, I've been knocked up by a teenager. He's just been really great.
He's really into it.
Yeah, oh, he is such a good dad.
I mean, he lives with his mum, but whatever.
I look a lot like his mum, it's weird.
So, yeah,
Oh God, that's so traumatic. I've had that. I had a one-night stand, and then he'd forgotten that his mother was coming over the next morning. So I woke up to seeing how I will look in 20 minutes. I think we both knew, both me and her. I was just, oh, shit.
Wow.
Shit. Oh, it was so, I just remembered that. Thank you.
What a traumatic night for Sophie Hagen. I mean, my
You're
God.
I'm so sorry for making me relive.
So much trauma.
Oh, Sophie, you're going to share this episode with, like, hashtag never again. God. That's hilarious, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth it just for the moment to be able to tell the story.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
So it's worse for him and her.
I can believe
it.
Exactly.
It's
like,
way worse. They're going to be related for the rest of their lives.
I'm just going to leave you guys
What
to
I like
sort
about that,
out.
Too, is like she wasn't like, oh, that's nice. She was like, oh, no, this is weird. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, concealing her pregnancy, Maggie continued to work, and she continued to work until the day that her child was born. The child is born prematurely.
That tavern wench wears some very flowy skirts, exactly. Doesn't she? I'm always amazed at these women that, like, conceal their pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, I guess they did wear loose-fitting clothes in those days. I don't know. But the child is born prematurely, too. And she risks her own life delivering this child completely alone and in secret. Where do you think she delivers this baby?
In an attic. No, by the... Yeah, was I right?
No, I'm just intrigued that that's your guess.
It just sounds like the place you... I don't know.
I don't... Maybe like...
In the forest?
That's a good guess.
On the beach? I'm just going to keep naming places.
You're so outdoorsy.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't... You know, it's not exactly a quiet process.
Well, I guess it's the question of, yeah, does she have to carry... Does she carry the body to try to... get rid of it at the river, or does she go into labor somewhere else? And
so she has this baby in a field.
So one outside place I didn't mention.
I know, yeah. Right? I feel like you sort of
think
got
you still
it.
Get credit.
Yeah, because what? Like, you can't do that really in an attic. Be like, Maggie's been upstairs shouting epidural now for ages. Now I'm getting trauma flashbacks. So she went to this field to give birth in secret. She's like, right, my contractions are 3 minutes apart. Better head to that field.
Fuck.
In winter time.
Jesus. Bloody hell.
In Scotland.
That might be even better, won't it? Like, numb. Yeah. I mean, I have a back injury, so I need to use, like, ice pads things.
Yeah, right.
It just numbs it. So right. I think she was fine.
Actually, this is a really happy story.
We all know that births, you know, it's already kind of easy.
I don't want to get
know?
Too sciencey on you. But that
this poor thing.
A freezing cold field in Scotland is actually not the best place to have a premature baby all by yourself.
She's like, there better be a pub named after me. Yeah. After all this.
And one day Hannah Jones will be reading the menu.
It's not known for sure whether the baby is stillborn or whether it dies shortly after being born. Mm. One source suggested it died after a few days hidden under her bed. I don't think you can hide.
How would you know that baby. That much later?
Yeah.
This is someone being born.
Yeah, exactly. What are the sources going to be? So, yeah, we don't know how or when it dies. We just know where it was found. Maggie is heartbroken, still hiding the baby's existence. And to avoid implicating William, she had planned to throw the baby in the River Tweed. But she couldn't bring herself to do that. She lost her nerve at the water's edge and just placed it on the riverbank instead. As we know, the very same day, a local fisherman discovers the body and notifies the magistrate. So investigations led back to Margaret Dixon, and when questioned, she admitted that the baby had been hers, but maintained that it had already been dead, and her only crime was the way in which she tried to conceal her pregnancy. So what crime do you think that she was charged with?
Like, well, I guess negligence wasn't a thing, was it?
No.
They don't really... Because I... brief sidetrack.
Yeah.
First... what I think is at least the first female serial killer in Denmark.
Oh, yeah.
Was a woman called Dagmar Overby. And she would, you got money if you took care of people's kids.
Oh.
So she would just take a bunch of kids and kill them, which is horrible and awful and disgusting and gross. And she only got caught because a mother regretted her decision. Oh. So she turned around, like on the way out of her house, she turned around, went back in, but it was already too late.
Whoa!
And this was in the beginning, I feel like it's the beginning of the... like 1900 and something.
Jeez.
But the only reason, the only positive about that was that meant that Denmark then got laws about where our kids. Like, let's make sure we always know where our kids, and let's make sure that, you know, kids are checked up on. We don't just give them to strangers and never check.
Amazing.
So, but that was in the beginning of 1700s. So I imagine in the 1700s that wasn't a thing.
No, yeah. No, it definitely wasn't. It was not negligence that she was charged
with. Was she charged with murder? Did they just not believe her?
Yeah,
I'm going to assume it's murder. They're not going to go easy on her.
Actually, it's slightly disputed whether she was, but even if she wasn't charged with murder, she was charged with concealment of pregnancy, which is a crime.
What?
That's a crime in Scotland in 1723. There's a Concealment of Pregnancy Act, which she has contravened.
Meghan Markle would go down.
Jeez. Big struggle for maternity rights.
I mean, talking about like what positive comes out of this, like I'm going to donate a shitload of money to Planned Parenthood as soon as we're done recording this, because it's just a reminder.
Yeah.
What's the logic behind that being illegal? Is that like a...
I don't like it. There was the Concealment of Pregnancy Act was passed in 1690, which was like 30 years before this happened.
Wow.
And actually, it was, even without the charges of murder, it was a capital punishment offence.
Fuck!
Yeah.
Why? Is it like a men have to know things? That must be the only logical...
It will
like
be.
Don't lie to a man.
Well, if you're concealing a pregnancy, it's likely out of wedlock. That's also illegal. So why not just make that also a crime? Yeah.
Taylor is really pro this law.
I think it is great. We should bring it back.
I think, yeah. What if you don't know?
I read the story about this girl who didn't know until she gave birth.
She was called Sonia. It was in EastEnders. And it was a great storyline. And you thought it was Martin's baby, but it was Jamie's. EastEnders fans will know all about that.
You're gonna make a lot of people very happy by reminding them of that great storyline.
But yeah, that stacks up for me that they would make it illegal, and yet I'm still shocked.
Mm. I know.
I know the past was bad, but guys, it was really bad.
I know, we've come so far. So she was also accused of murdering the baby, but she always maintained that the baby just died.
Right.
I don't want to say the system is rigged against women, but capital punishment for concealing a pregnancy, but presumably also punishment for having, as you say, a baby out of wedlock. So many great choices. Maggie was taken back to Edinburgh for trial and execution, the latter taking place in the public Grassmarket Square on the 2nd of September 1724. And that little circle thing, which I've got a tiny photo of here, but we can put the photo when we do this, of where we sometimes sit and eat sandwiches, that was where they hung people.
Oh my God.
At the bottom of Grassmarket.
Did you know that? Was that something people know?
Yeah.
When you eat sandwiches there?
Yeah, like I randomly accidentally went on this tour. I was sitting eating a sandwich there, and this tour group were all, I didn't realise they were all, in hindsight, wearing red or whatever. And then like this guy goes, right, everybody come. And everyone around me stood up. But I was just like still eating my sandwich. So then I got to hear for free all about Maggie Dixon. And then also about where J.K. Rowling's cafe was that she did the writing. And so I just sort of, I was really curious. So I sort of followed them at a distance because I wanted to know where the cafe was.
Well, that's the only way to do a tour. Like you can always just hitch a ride on them. It's like in Bridesmaids where they're like, they haven't paid for the athletics class, but they're doing it to the side. It's like,
it was the version of that.
But with hanging.
But with hanging.
A much more gruesome, less jaunty version of that.
The threat of that is the only thing that gets me to exercise.
So Maggie is not offered grief counselling. She's sentenced to be hung.
Oh, God.
It's a huge story. It spreads like wildfire around Edinburgh. Maggie languishes in jail. The whole city speculates on whether or not she killed her child. So she's taken along with the other prisoners on the day of execution to the Grassmarket. And she's hung. And then she's taken down and pronounced dead. Maggie was put into a coffin, onto a wagon, and then taken by family and friends to Musselburgh for burial. And this is where the story starts to get amazing. So what do you think happens next, Hannah George?
Menu girl knows. And it's fucking crazy.
Really?
So I will allow you to guess.
Is she not dead?
Oh!
Yeah!
I think I've given it away.
They didn't hang her completely?
Okay.
Shut up. No wonder there's a pub with great jacket potatoes.
It bears repeating.
I love this country.
She was pronounced dead and her body was bound for Musselburgh in this coffin. The journey by foot to Maggie's final resting place would be a long one. On the way there, the group stopped at a pub to have drinks and refresh themselves.
Men.
Men.
You know what I could go for right now? It's a nice pint.
It's thirsty.
Are you thirsty?
God, I've wheezed so much on this episode. I'm sorry.
When they returned to the wagon, a loud banging and knocking was coming from within the wooden coffin. They quickly pried open the lid and found Maggie was alive.
Jesus Christ.
She had survived the hanging.
How do I not know this? This is amazing.
It's a good one.
Because you didn't go to that pub on your own like a lonely woman like me. You went with your old
Don't
parents.
Worry. Rest assured, I'm always lonely. fucking hell.
So yeah, she either didn't die or she come back to life or she was magic. Some said that she had seduced and manipulated the rope maker to engineer a weaker noose. And another theory...
Yeah, it's got to come back to her promiscuity. Like, this slut is still alive. She must have given some blowjays.
I know.
Ridiculous. This has to go back to her vajay.
Like, who do you have to sleep with to get out of here? Another theory was that the coroner was super drunk and mispronounced the death.
It was Scotland. Am I right? Joking, Scotland.
Like he was meant to say still alive. But then
yeah, he was so drunk. He was like, yeah, that looks dead. And just, I don't know. He was just so drunk he couldn't see straight.
My mum once said that my hamster was dead when it wasn't. So it is possible.
It's possible.
And I had a lot of feelings as a child. And she was like, Hannah, I've got some bad news. And then she told me. And so I had a cry and we had a little cuddle.
Oh,
and then
God.
I was quite morbid. And I said, can I go and have a look at it? And she was like, well, if you want. And so I climbed up to where it was and it was just running around.
Coast.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, Mum, it's definitely still alive. She's a nurse. Yeah. I was like, Mum, it's still alive. And she'd seen a bit of cardboard in its little house and she'd prodded it and it was like really hard. And she was like, oh God, I've got to tell Hannah. And Hannah is so emotional. And she didn't have to, did she?
Maybe she was just preparing you.
Yeah,
for when it actually did happen.
Yeah. I love that. It just, it still cracks me up now.
Wow, if it can happen to a hamster.
Now it has a pup named after it, hasn't it?
Yes! The Gomez George, yes.
So, yay,
Adam's family?
Up.
Yeah, Adam's
nice,
family.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice.
Sexed up Magic Maggie. Word of her survival spreads quickly. Lore and legends soon begin. The story is verbally repeated over and over. She got the nickname Half Hang It Maggie.
Jesus. The woman
who survived the hanging. Right, what do you think happened?
Is that a meal on the menu?
The half-hanging burger.
The half-hanging burger.
Do you think... Sorry, go on, say.
No, is it like a... I don't know if people were like super religious and superstitious at this time, but it could be like a... Well, if she survived, if she came back from life, she must be... Jesus, but not Jesus because she's a woman. He would never. But something like that. Are they well,
she's
you've
like a
survived.
No, you're absolutely right. My question was going to be, do you think they hung her again or let her go free? They let her go free for that very reason.
You'd be so shit scared to hang her. Like, she'll kill us all.
Yeah.
Let's give her a job, autonomy. She can wear what she likes.
Doesn't have to tell us about her pregnancies anymore.
Let's treat her like a man, finally.
And all she had to do is get hung. Under Scots law, her punishment had been carried out and she couldn't be executed for a second time for the same crime. Only later were the words, until dead, added to the sentence of hanging.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you could just hang them a little bit.
Yeah, like, there's a total loophole there.
Loophole. That's my favourite Taylor. It's like a Taylor Swift song. Hang me a little bit. Just
so, and then as Sophie said, her resurrection was seen by some as an act of God, divine intervention, which also helped absolve her of all her charges. She was allowed to go free. How long do you think she lived after that?
Oh God, I hope for a really long time.
Isn't that
wouldn't
one of those,
fucking
and then
suck?
She walked out in front of a bus and yeah. say like, oh, for fuck's sake, Maggie, for fuck's sake.
Okay, well, tell me your guesses and what?
5 years.
5 years? Go on.
I think she lived for like another 40 years.
Yeah, I think she had a long
Bingo.
Life after that.
It's oh, yes!
Literally 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Your subconscious remembered
good.
The menu.
Oh.
So, yeah, she became something of a local celebrity. Locals gave her the nickname Half Hang It Maggie. The pub is named after her.
Is that a celebrity? Is that a good thing?
I guess there was no TV, so yes. Right, also, super quickly, supposedly, this is just fun for me and Hannah, Maggie haunts Mary King's clothes.
Hey, I know Mary King's Close. Don't exclude me.
Oh, no, I wasn't excluding you, but me and Hannah went on the ghost tour at Mary King's Close in 2008, and we had our photo.
I know it. My dad had a panic attack in there. I'll never forget it.
Really?
Yeah, which he only told us about later. He's like, so I had a massive panic attack in there while we were eating the jacket potato, he told us.
It all comes together. I love this.
We had a great family time.
Oh, my God. Didn't he, like, survive NAM and stuff? And then...
I know, poor guy.
No, it's the ghosts.
It's very low ceilings in there.
Yeah, it is actually. It's not good for claustrophobic people. Yeah. But we had our photo taken, and there was like a weird orb light on Hannah's boob in the photo.
Yes, so that's the best my tits have ever looked in the whole time.
We could share that photo on social media.
We could! We should. Boob orb. Or borb, if you will.
Oh, that's great.
People have claimed that they saw her in Mary King's Close.
My boob orb. Or...
No, yeah, that's how she presents herself. If she chooses you, you're going to have luck.
Oh, man, I would drink at the Hannah George. That's all I'm saying.
But, yeah, so, like, either hooray, Maggie, or the other side of this is that Maggie was a randy psychopath that killed her inconveniently timed baby and then seduced the hangman and went about her business. I mean...
I think either way, it's go Hannah. Oh, my God. I mean, yes, that's go me. Premonition. Is that what it's called?
Uh-oh. You know her grandmother's good at this
my
shit.
My grandmother has a hunch about this. Wait, what's I don't know Maggie, if this is good Maggie. For me or not.
It's no, not, it's not.
It's no, really not, is it?
This was not a compliment. I'm so sorry if you took it that way.
Aww.
But that is the story of Half Hang It
Wow. I did not... See, this is why I don't study history, because it's so much more fun to learn about it like this.
Oh, what are we, Team Maggie?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Cheers.
We solved the shit out of it.
That makes more noise. Oh, yes.
Drunk women solving crime.
We have just time
for
listener crime. And this is from David Smith. Hello, David Smith.
Hi, David Smith.
While on a family holiday to Mallorca, I watched a woman steal jewellery from my parents' bedroom. We chased who we thought was her around the town, but never caught her. That is a very slapstick crime, David.
There is so much to unpack with this.
We're very cartoonish.
To go on,
for a start, I watched her. David, what? Yeah.
Step in.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, well, you know, when you get sort of like, when you get one of the Lilo things on holiday, what are they called?
Very comfy.
Yeah, well, when you get one, you don't want to sort of like get up because someone else will take it. Like the sun lounges.
You don't want to lose the Lilo.
I can't leave my chair.
Yeah. Mom! There's something. Mom! Yeah.
Ah, never mind.
There are questions around that, but I like that.
But also, it could be that thing of like, you don't realize, it's so unlikely that there's a crime happening. You're not expecting it. You're like, oh no, that's probably the, oh no, it does look like that. Oh shit, it's too late now. Like, it's that whole thing of like, sort of not realizing till it's too late, maybe.
Yeah.
Also, yes. Who brings their best jewellery on a holiday? Do you not bring the worst? Do you not? Is that not?
Yeah, I don't have any jewellery on a holiday for that reason.
You can use it. Yeah, yeah.
I don't even wear a wedding ring. I mean, like, that's for other reasons.
That's because I want to be a bit of a Maggie.
Am I right?
I think, actually, not on the same reason, but Rich's mom once lost her wedding ring in the sea.
Ooh. Oh, because it, you know what? It shrinks your finger size.
Yeah, yeah, so then, sorry, David, Audrey. They chased the wrong person.
Do they know it's the wrong person, or did they just never catch her?
Yeah, we don't know if there was a showdown and then a big apology.
I do love the idea it was the wrong person.
It probably does end with an apology. We just don't know who had to apologize.
Yeah.
I love that there was a chase and all.
Yeah.
I just don't think my family would have that kind of get up and go. You know, like they put the effort in. They can celebrate that forever, even though the jewelry is gone.
Yeah.
I got the Benny Hill music in my head.
Yes, me too.
Definitely.
No, well, I mean, I don't know if we can help with this. What's our advice? Make sure, because it sounds like a bit like the old switcheroo, like where you like they swap bags and then they've got the same beanie hat and then they're like chasing that one and it's like, oh my God, my bag's back at the airport. It's not like that at all.
Mm.
But you can see how it could be, right?
Well, and far be it from me to blame the victim, but there is that thing of like, if you're going to bring your best jewelry on holiday, like you've got to insure it. And we don't have that information. Maybe it was insured.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he didn't intervene.
It could have had emotional value.
Yeah, the sentimental value.
Wow, no.
That's the idea that he didn't intervene. He's like, we've got great coverage on this.
Yeah, and he was probably like, when you go on holiday with your parents, he was probably maybe a kid as well.
Yeah.
So like, the idea of him going like, no, I'm pretty sure that's covered under corporate insurance.
In fact, I think we're in for a tidy profit. Thanks, HSBC.
But you not have that when you witness something and you just freeze and then you just blame yourself for the rest of your life, like you didn't do that thing.
Yeah.
But that just means the next time he witnesses a crime, he knows exactly what to do. Because he's been preparing that moment.
He's going to put right what once
went
wrong.
The next one, thinking he can steal a little...
He's like Mr. T now. He just carries jewelry everywhere.
He's full on,
Sophie just turned David into a superhero, which is exactly the kind of solving that we do here.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Super
that's
David.
That's our advice. Keep it up.
Hashtag next time.
Before we go, Sophie, is there anything that you would like to plug? What are you up to?
I've started a new podcast. Ooh, and I imagine people listening to this like podcasts. I hope.
We'll soon see about that.
I hate listening. I always say that on my podcast. I always say, I hope you not hate listening, because I hate listening to things.
Not till the very end, though, right? I mean, if they've made it this far, they're on our side.
You don't carry grudges that are so bad. You're like, oh my God, let's start the next one.
Yeah, that's why I watch Cruel Intentions.
I have a podcast called Made of Human, which is just a conversational podcast about life.
Oh, cool.
And then I have a new one called Secret Dinosaur Cults, which is a kind of, it's about daddy issues and trauma and queer stuff. And
I've listened to a couple and it's very funny. I like, how are you filling your daddy hole today?
Yes, that's one of the segments. Because Jodie, my co-host, she had three dads that all left and I have one dad who left twice. So we have,
oh my God.
We have a whole daddy.
It's not funny. Wow.
It's so funny. So we have a whole daddy hole segment.
Oh my God.
It's live as well, so people can come to see the live shows.
Brilliant.
Which is so much fun. You can hear all the libelous stuff that we have to edit out. And then I'm going on tour in April, May, and June of 2019 with my tour Bubble Wrap Happy Fat, which is part stand-up, my first stand-up show, and part like a book reading Q&A for my new book.
Oh my God,
coming out
this
soon.
Is amazing. Nice. When's the book coming out?
April, mid-April.
Wow.
Is the book the same name?
The book is called Happy Fat.
Right.
That's about why it's, can you swear?
Yeah.
Why it's fucking okay to be fat. Almost made it to the end without, sorry. So the tour and everything's on secretdinosaurcult.com or sophiehagen.com.
Awesome. That sounds so good.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.